All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome to this week's episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. Today, we are going to be deep diving into mental overload and why you are feeling exhausted. And we're wrapping up our series on mental wellness, where we're going to break down how Philippians 4 and 8 can really help you think clearly again. But before we get into it, I want to give y'all a couple of church announcements, okay? First of all, the Mental Wellness Blueprint is now ready for you to download, friend. That's where I was last week. I wanted to really take the time to build out a tool and a system that was going to be helpful for you. So over the last several weeks, we have gone over every aspect of Philippians 4:4-8 and how God utilizes that to help us develop mental wellness. If you go back and listen to all of the episodes, we have really been talking about living mentally well while also allowing God to restore our mental health. Wellness is more of that maintenance work. Health is more of the restorative work dealing with issues, but focusing on that mental wellness is how you can live life more abundantly today. And I wanted to make sure that as we wrapped this series, you had an impactful resource that was going to help this become something that can travel with you, that you can grow with, that you can revisit for months, weeks, days, years to come. Okay. And we have done that with the Mental Wellness Blueprint. I'm going to talk a little bit about it more at the end of the episode. It is an absolutely free resource, and I have put my good time, energy, effort, and soul into it. And so my prayer is that as we land this plane and talk about Philippians 4 and 8, mental overload, and utilizing it to sustain our mental wellness, that you will download the access to the course, and you're able to utilize the blueprint, which we're going to break down at the end of this episode. Now, let's hop right into it. One of the things that I have found recently that I have been dealing with is some mental overload. There's really nothing right now in this season that I can do about it outside of some strategies that I'm going to share with y'all at the end of the episode. But I want you to lean in with me, friend, and let me know if you are like me and have ever felt like your brain just won't stop running, right? Like you're constantly juggling responsibilities, you're making decisions, you're absorbing information. By the end of the day, your brain is fried, okay? For me, by the time I get ready to come home from clinic, like the way that I don't want to talk to any human being, the way I don't want to make any decisions because I'm making all of these decisions in clinic on how to care for these kids, it fries my brain. And if you were like me, I know that your brain get fried too. And so then you go to sit down and pray, but now your mind is jumping all over the place. You try to rest, but you're like ruminating on conversations you had, or you're thinking about stuff that isn't done, or all the things that you forgot to do. And if this is your life, okay, if you are experiencing these things, this is what is called cognitive overload, and it will ripple into every part of your life. It will impact your ability to think clearly. It will impact your emotions. It will impact your body and your ability to connect with God. And it really is impacting you because you are asking your brain to process more than what it can handle at once. And God really, He created us in a finite capacity. And so that means that there's a limit to how much we can do. Now, people will be like, oh, you only use 10% of your brain. Girl, no, we use our whole brain. Okay. But our whole brain may only be a tenth of what the Lord can do. Because what the Bible say, His thoughts and ways are higher and better than ours, period. But understand that there are limits to this. Okay. There are limits to what our brains can do. And so the reason Philippians 4 and 8 is so important is because it's not just a verse that is about inspiration, right? It's a tool that Paul leaves us with. He's been giving us all of these gems, all of these strategies to protect our mental health and mental wellness. And what I love about this, okay, remember that I talked about this in our last episode, that this man was in prison. He was in prison telling us how to live mentally well. So he was stressed out and still had the wherewithal to give us the strategy. He still had enough connection with the Lord and enough influence from the Holy Spirit to really tell us what to do when stuff is getting tight. And so I want us to make sure that we're utilizing Philippians 4 and 8 as a way to train our thoughts so we can have clarity, so you can have focus, and you can have peace. So let's dive a little bit deeper into cognitive overload. Cognitive overload happens when your brain is processing more information than what it can handle because our brain has a limited processing capacity. Just like your laptop, just like your phone, if you have too many tabs open, okay, in your Google Chrome browser, it will crash. If you have too many files, too many things on your computer, ain't no more storage, sis. Same with your phone. And so then the apps start slowing down. The quality of the way in which the electronics run is impacted. And our brain is the same way. So when you are experiencing a cognitive load that's been maxed out, you're going to have mental fatigue. So you're going to feel foggy. You're going to have a hard time concentrating. You're going to have decision fatigue where even small choices are going to overwhelm you. You're going to be emotionally exhausted. So you may be really easily irritated or anxious or feeling detached. You're going to feel physically exhausted where you're tired all the time. You're tense and you're struggling to sleep. And then there's that spiritual disconnection because it's hard for you to focus on prayer. It's hard for you to get in your word because you feel distant from the Lord because your brain is all over the place. And typically there's three types of information or demand that we have on our brains. And there's one in particular that we want to try to minimize. So the first type of cognitive load that our brains encounter is intrinsic load. And this is the natural effort that it takes to complete a task, right? So if you're learning a new skill, if you're trying to learn something in the Bible, if you're solving a complex problem, then you're going to use intrinsic load. And this kind of load is necessary, okay? It's necessary for growth. And with intrinsic load, it requires an intentional focus. So intrinsic load are one of those things that we want to keep, right? Because we're going to constantly be learning, constantly be rewiring our brains, doing the things. The next is extraneous load. This is unnecessary distractions that just make life harder for no reason, okay? You trying to study scripture and you checking your phone every couple minutes. You're adding load. This is why most of us are overloaded because we have too much extraneous load. This is the load that we can throw away. Okay? This is the cross that ain't yours to bear. This is where all of the distractions, all of the noise comes in. When we talk about mental noise, that's extraneous load. And then the last kind is germane load. And so this is a deep, meaningful processing. And this is where transformation happens. So a lot of us who are stuck in a cycle of doing but not thriving, we're spending a lot of time in intrinsic load, right? We're learning all these new skills. We are giving way too much time to extraneous load, and we're not experiencing transformation because we are not focusing on or giving enough space for that germane load, that deep, meaningful processing that is going to lead to transformation. So when you're meditating on the Word of God, when you are studying scripture and you're able to internalize it, that is where the real change happens. Okay? You should be making more space for that germane load. And a lot of us are drowning in extraneous load. There's clutter, there's distraction, there's social media, there's all this endless information. And so we don't have the mental energy for what actually matters. And now you're overloaded. And like I told you before, this cognitive overload is not just a mental problem, friend. It's going to ripple into every area of your life. So mentally, you're going to start tasks but not be able to finish them because your mind is being pulled into too many directions. This is why I decided not to record last week, but to really take that mental effort, that cognition, and put all of that into the mental wellness blueprint. Because that was the focus. That was what I was called to do. And while the podcast is important, I wanted to make sure that I was not half doing or half giving, and I knew I had limited capacity. You also will find yourself rereading the same paragraph multiple times because your brain won't process it, okay? Sometimes I think it's my ADHD, but sometimes maybe it's cognitive overload. You forget why you walked into a room. Like, girl, what I come in here for? Because your mind is already juggling so many things. You're snapping off on people emotionally because your bandwidth is zero. You're feeling anxious. Your brain is overwhelmed. And you don't even recognize that it's stress. You're shutting down. You feel numb. You feel unmotivated. You're exhausted all the time. You have so much tension in your shoulders, friend. You could be a bodybuilder at this point. Your jaw is tight right now. Okay? Okay? Unclench. Take a deep breath right now, middle of the episode. Take a deep breath, friend, and unclench. Okay? Everything. Unclench it all because your body is storing so much stress. Okay. Your stomach is tossing and turning because you have so much stress. You are struggling with insomnia. You're not sleeping well because the minute you lay down, your brain is going over everything. And then when you sit down to pray, your mind is distracted, you're reading scripture, and you're not able to have that germane load. You're not able to allow it to transform you and process it. So now it feels like a task instead of an encounter with God. And now you're feeling disconnected from God, and you know that He's near, right? Like your brain knows that you understand it in theory, but you're not experiencing it. Listen to that. If that list sounds like you, where is this cognitive overload impacting you the most? And then how are we going to address it? And Paul gives us a great way to filter our thoughts in Philippians 4 and 8 so we can have clarity, right? This whole passage in Philippians 4, 4 through 8, this whole journey we've been on over the last several weeks has really allowed us to learn how to be gentle with people, how to really be anxious for nothing, how the Bible tells us to refuse to do it, right? We talked about the prayer strategy, supplication, thanksgiving. We talked about how the peace of God then guards our hearts and our minds. And so then once we have that peace, now that the restoration has been done, right? Think about the parable of the house. Right now that God has done the restorative work and He's guarding our hearts and minds, it's our job to do some of this maintenance work. And Philippians 4 and 8 tells us that. And so we're not told just to stop worrying or to clear our minds, but God is so kind that through Paul, He gives us this practical way to retrain our thinking. And I want you to know that you can retrain your thoughts. You can rewire your mind. It's called neuroplasticity. where your mind is able to be rewired. This is why you can learn a new language. This is why you can learn new skills, because you can rewire your brain. But it's all about what you think about, and you have to think about what you're thinking about. So Philippians 4 through 8, or chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things," right? This is what we're supposed to be thinking about. Each of these attributes really are a mental filter, and they help us evaluate our thoughts and then realign them with the truth. And I want to break this down so you can understand practically what is being said here. So, what is true? That means when I'm thinking, I need to ask myself, does this align with God's truth? Does this align with what's factually accurate? Okay? Or is it based on fear? Is it based on assumption? Or is it based on lies? Does it align with God's truth first? Because that is the supreme truth. That's actual truth. And then is it factually accurate? Because how many of us know that we can get caught up in our feelings and we make assumptions and we don't give just the facts when we are replaying situations in our minds? Or is this thought based on fear, assumption, or lies? So instead of saying, "Oh man, I'm a failure," we then have to say, well, that's not rooted in God's truth. What's actually true is that God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so this is an opportunity for me to have a genuine personal encounter with the Lord, to where he can demonstrate his strength to me where I don't got it. And we know that that's rooted in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, because that's the actual truth. What is noble? So then you have to ask yourself, is this thought elevating me or pulling me into negativity? So instead of you rehearsing the resentment, instead of you rehearsing the situation over and over again, we want to choose to process that thought in a way that aligns with grace. Now, this does not mean that we are negating any emotional pain. This does not mean that we are negating the truth of what happened. Situations can be ugly and you can still have noble thoughts. You could say, you know what? That was really hurtful that that happened. I'm definitely going to move different, but I'm also going to give grace to that person. Here's a good case in point. I told y'all that my uncle passed away last month. My cousin has had a lot of things going on, okay, my older cousin. And she's lost her husband. She's now lost her dad. My aunt had a stroke and is in a nursing home. So, like, there are a lot of things that she's dealing with. And so there were some things that happened. Y'all know how this goes when people pass away, that I didn't really like. However, when I think about my cousin, the way that my heart is bent is like, okay, yeah, we could have done some things different. But honestly, sis is just trying to make it, right? Like, think about all of the things that she's had to deal with. And so it's a noble thought, because I'm giving her grace, not making excuses for the behavior, but I'm giving her grace because, geez, Louise. And then there's something crazy going on with her son. Like, geez, Louise. That's a noble thought. My initial thought wasn't quite as noble, but I had to filter it, right? And so we can give people grace without making excuses. And we can change the way that we think about things. Even when somebody does something completely unfair. Like, man, I can't believe that person stole from me. But you know what? The fact that they felt like they needed to do that. What does that say about their heart posture? What does that say about how depraved they are? Can we be grieved about the condition of their heart and their soul? And we can still press charges, okay? And pressed. But we also, when we think about the situation, thinking from it from a position that is noble. The next one is whatever is right. Okay? Does this align with God's righteousness? So instead of you dwelling on the injustice, focus on what biblical justice looks like. Focus on the fact that God is in control. Vengeance belongs to Him. Focus on the times when you needed God's grace, God's mercy, and you're glad. You're glad. You're glad that He did not give you the penalty that you deserved. I heard a pastor say this to me once. He said, "Do you want to be right or do you want to be righteous?" Because sometimes you can be right in doing something, but it's not the righteous thing to do. Like, I could set you out, read you for filth, but I'm going to be righteous and say nothing because I don't have to defend myself because God vindicates me. Whatever is pure. Is this thought spiritually and morally clean?
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Are you comparing yourself? Is there bitterness in that thought? Is there resentment? Is there lust? And not even just lust, meaning like romantically, sexually. Are you lusting after money? Are you lusting after the bag? Are you lusting after clout? And then when you think about things that are pure, what are you consuming? Like, are you consuming toxic media? And just because something isn't, again, you know, rated MA, that doesn't mean that it's not toxic for you. So if you're struggling with comparison, girl, what is you following people's vlogs for? Because you need to worry about your own life and live your own life in real life. So is it pure? Is it lovely? Does this thought bring joy? Does it bring gratitude? Does it bring beauty? Or does it fixate on what is wrong? Again, this is not toxic positivity. Because remember, if you did the whole process, if you already prayed, exchanged your will for God's will, if you already supplicated and told God what you need, and thanksgiving, we've already processed through the parts that are uncomfortable. We've already processed through, hey, this is how I feel about this. So now, as we think about it, are we going to think about how we just gave God praise for fixing it? Okay. We gave Him prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Or are we going to continue to complain and murmur like the children of Israel who begged to get out of slavery? God got them out of slavery. And then they was like, we was better off as slaves. So we want to make sure that we're replacing our complaints with gratitude. Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Would I want others to know this thought? I'm going to tell y'all right now. Sometimes my thoughts, the first thing that comes to mind, I'm like, girl, where did that come from? Goodbye. Okay. Why did you just think that? Huh, Sharla? Ring out your heart before the Lord. Do you want others, if your thoughts could be displayed, would you be okay with sharing it? Would you be okay with sharing that thought? If not, then it's not admirable and we need to pivot. So you want to dwell on things that are uplifting and not things that tear down. Tear yourself down, tear people down, tear down your job, tearing down your boss. Okay? Is it admirable? And you can, again, do this without lying. All right? This isn't being fake. Some people have bosses who are not kind and who are not great to work for. However, your thoughts could be shifted to where you are asking God to give them the tools that they need. That's uplifting. That's edifying. That's building up. So we're not negating the fact that there's a tool necessary, that's needed, that's required. But how you frame it really matters. And then finally, you want to think on things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Does this glorify God? Is God pleased? Is God exalted? Are you learning more about his character? Are you learning more about his goodness? Are you learning that he's Jehovah Jireh because you understand how he provided gas for your car? You were able to go get groceries. And so although I don't have everything I want, God, I thank you that I have everything I need, because wouldn't be not a nary a cow without you. So I couldn't even get this hamburger meat. Okay, is it giving God praise? This is how we should be really filtering our thoughts to provide us the clarity that we need with cognitive overload. And you want to make sure that you are not allowing the way that you have thought previously to overwhelm you, right? This is going to take practice. That means that it may feel awkward. That means that you're going to have to really be on top of it, just like when you, again, are learning a new language. And essentially, when we're doing this, we're teaching our mind a new language, a new way that we approach situations, a new perspective. We are transforming our minds. So the same way that I've gotten better at my Spanish because I use it at work, but before I knew it, but I wasn't as fluent, and I'm not fluent. Okay, don't play with me. I can get through some things, but I'm not fluent yet. But I'm sure as time continues and I continue to be immersed in it, I continue to be in situations where I have to use it and I have to figure it out. I have to think about what I'm saying. So sometimes it does sound great. And then sometimes I got to hit you with a, ¿cómo se dice? Okay, how do you say? ¿Cómo se dice this word? Okay. Sometimes it is awkward, but I'm getting better and better. That same way is how we train our brains in this new language of mental wellness, of having a mindset that is established in what God has called us to think on. Okay? He didn't say you could possibly think on. No, he said, think on this. Okay? Think on these things. Outside of that, and outside of using Philippians 4 and 8, I want to give you some practical strategies so you can start reducing your cognitive load. Remember, we want to get rid of that wasted load, that extraneous load. The research tells us that we make about 35,000 decisions every single day. 35,000, friend. You make 35,000 decisions every day. All of that is mental energy. All of that is decision fatigue, and your brain is taxed. Sis is tired. 35,000 decisions every single day. That is why we cannot waste our time thinking on things that don't make no sense. Thinking about things that we can't control. Thinking on things that don't glorify God. Because if I'm going to be thinking and making decisions, I need them to be something that's going to edify me, that's going to build me up. Because 35,000 decisions every day is a lot. Okay? It's a lot. So here are some practical strategies. One is for you to externalize your cognitive load. So write things down. I know that that sounds simple, but friend, it's science. Okay? So using brain dumps, checklists, planners, structured routine, you have to externalize things. You have to write them down and get them outside of your head. Y'all know that I am working on rebuilding the app. It is fire. Okay? But I was getting overwhelmed. You know what I did? I took a piece of paper and I spent 30 minutes just writing down all of the things that I needed to do. And once I did that, you know what I didn't feel? Overwhelmed. It works. Don't confuse the fact that it is simple with the fact that you think it won't work. Like, you need to do it. Write it down. Brain dump, checklist, use a planner, have some structure. Externalize that load. Get it out of your brain. The next thing, cognitive budgeting. So this is going to reduce that decision fatigue. The same way you budget your money, you should be. You got to budget what you gonna think about. Here are some things that you do. Simplify repetitive decisions. So something as simple as on Fridays, I do my laundry and I make sure I have all of my work clothes for the week. And they go in one particular drawer. And guess what? I don't have to do. Ask myself if I got clean scrubs. Right? I don't have to think about like, oh my gosh, do I have clean scrubs? No. Mm-mm. What I'm going to do is I wash all my scrubs on my day off. I have plenty of scrubs. They're in this drawer. I come, I pull, I leave. Like that's it. Laying out your clothes the night before. We used to do it as kids, friend. Run it back. Because then when you wake up in the morning, you're not spending that time asking yourself, what am I about to wear? Blah. Right? Meal planning. Planning your meals. Now I don't have to think about what to eat because there's a plan in place. I know what I'm cooking, when, why, and how. Have a Bible study plan. This is what I'm going to do. I'm studying the book of Acts. I'm studying the book of Psalms, and I'm going to work my way through that. So now when I sit down for my prayer time, I'm going to pray, process my emotions, talk to the Lord, you know, get my mind right, and then I'm going to get into Psalms. And now I'm not having to be like, I don't even know where to start, what to do. Like, no, just make a decision, have a plan, and let's do it. And if you need assistance, right? This is where we can utilize technology to our advantage. If you don't ask Deacon ChatGPT to draft you up a meal plan and a Bible study plan, okay, like it will do it. It will do it for you. So you don't even have to spend the cognitive load, see what I did there, to develop the plan. And then you have to execute it. So you need to budget what you're thinking about. When you got them babies, like everybody's clothes need to be laid out for the week. A tool that I tell my parents to use in office, because kids want to make decisions, particularly toddlers. They want to make decisions. They want to be empowered. Get those little clear drawers, okay? Label them Monday through Friday. You put the set of clothes in there, all right? So you're laying out the clothes in each bucket. Depending on whatever day it is, and you don't have to label them Monday through Friday. You can just do 1 through 5. They get to pick from these select outfits. What we're not doing is all of that other stuff. But it gives them the autonomy to pick which one of these outfits would you like to wear. But also, now you aren't trying to explain to him why he can't go to school in his drawers, in his Spider-Man boots. Okay? You see what we're doing? So everybody has to have routine so we can cognitively budget. And then the last thing that I would recommend is single tasking in deep work. And I think I got one more, but this the deep work, okay? You have to train your brain to focus on one thing at a time. Baby, this be eating me up. This eats me up. Multitasking is not of God, and it's not even good quality work. And I may run that back in another episode. But you want to really focus on deep work. Something that I have done to cultivate this recently. Last week, I believe, I started doing co-working sessions in the society. So literally from 10 a.m. to 2, we are co-working. Deep work, being accountable, I needed that space. And so I cultivated that space. And it is a good time in the Lord. And y'all can thank that for why the mental wellness blueprint is complete. Okay, finished it on yesterday. And so things that you can do are things like that, right? Body doubling, creating an environment where there are no distractions. So that means don't even bring your phone into your prayer closet. Get your physical Bible out to study. Turn the notifications off, friend. Set your phone on D&D using an app like Opal, which I have raved about. So helpful. And then the last thing I would say is really making sure you're being mindful and how you transition. So you want to avoid doing like mental carryover. You have to create closure between tasks or it'll spill over. Right? So that means that you end your day with journaling and reflect with the Lord. Give God all of those unfinished thoughts, unfinished tasks, like at night. This is why journaling is important. And so I really want us to understand the importance of dealing with our mental overload, understanding our cognition, understanding, hey, I have a limited capacity. Because so often we are demanding things out of our minds and we just literally don't have it. So that may mean that you need to be more selfish, and that's not even really a good word, a better steward over the things that you say yes to. And that's okay. Because if you don't have the capacity, you can't do it. Jesus did not go around doing all the things. He did what he was told to do. And a lot of us have taken on wearing this cape and doing stuff that's just outside of what God called us to do. Okay? Like, you ain't got to do all that. Just do what God has called you to do. It really is important to do what God has called you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more, nothing less. And so I pray that this has blessed you. Make sure you go back and you listen to all of the episodes in this series. I pray that this has really been a shift for you in your way of thinking and you understand how you can live well in the midst of dealing with hard things. Now, let's talk about this mental wellness blueprint. I am so excited because the mental wellness blueprint is complete. It is a free resource that I created to really help you understand and maximize your mental health, okay? Your mental wellness. I want you to be able to leverage living mentally well. So in this blueprint, we break down all of the things again, okay? I have well-written essays, right? Information. Y'all know me. I'm gonna give you the tea. But it functions almost like a course where you are then gonna get quizzed on some things so you can make sure that you understand. It is going to really help you transform the way that you think. We go verse by verse in, hey, this is what you need to do. This is how you do it. These are the strategies that you can implement. And it has reflections, all the things that you need to really work through mental wellness. You don't have to be bound just to trying to figure it out over these couple of podcast episodes, right? I wanted to make sure that this was a tool and a resource that you could really lean into. And you know, like, hey, I'm struggling in this area. So I'm going to XYZ. I'm going to go and study in the mental wellness blueprint. What I also love about this is that I'm able to continue to build on it. So as things continue to grow, as I get new lessons, I'm going to bring more information and add it to the mental wellness blueprint. You are able to take, like I said, take the content, listen to it, rewatch it. You are able to take the quizzes. It walks you through reflections. And then at the very end, friend, you are going to be able to draft your own personalized mental wellness blueprint. It walks you through piece by piece of, hey, what thoughts are you dealing with? Let's break that down. Hey, what you got going on? Let's break that down. Let's come up with some goals. Let's implement these strategies. And then you can download it, save it to your phone, and actually utilize your blueprint. So you get the lesson and you get the tangible takeaway. So if you've been feeling overwhelmed, if you've been feeling like you're stuck in cycles of stress, if you've been struggling to maintain peace in your daily life, the Mental Wellness Blueprint is this free interactive guide, and it's going to help you reclaim your clarity, manage your cognitive load, and you're going to be able to build a personalized plan. And what I love about this is that you can come back to it because you can do it now and then do it 3 months from now. You can plan to do it once a quarter and just see how your mind has shifted. This is not just an ebook. It is an interactive tool. It is an interactive workbook. Okay? It is a lot. And you can do it all from your phone. And you're going to have that biblical wisdom. I'm giving you evidence-based tools. And you're going to be able to cultivate peace, resilience, balance, and do these things in a way that works for you. And like I said, it is completely free. So you're going to click the link in the show notes. You're going to download it and you're going to start it. And then you're going to be able to build out your mental wellness plan. And you're going to execute and do. You're going to give space for that germane load so it can transform you. And so, friend, I pray that this series on mental wellness has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. I'm excited because even as I'm recording this, I'm like, you know what? I got something else I'm about to add to the workbook. Okay? It's just going to keep growing and giving. And that sounds like the Lord to me. So that's all for this week's episode, friend. I love you. God bless you. And I'll talk to you next week.
Hello, my name is Jorge Gaviria, and I'm the founder of Macienda. We partner with farmers in Mexico to bring heirloom corn products to every kitchen. With my Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on every purchase. And it has no preset spending limit, which means my purchasing power adapts to my business needs. My Spark card helps me fulfill my mission of bringing masa to the masses. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.